You may know you're listening to this show along the Marketing Podcast Network, but did you know there are other great shows on MPN to help your business? Christy Hyler hosts a fantastic podcast called Own It. Christy, tell us more about the show.
Own It is all about celebrating women and non-binary advertising agency owners. We talk about buying out of the Boys Club of Advertising because less than 1% of ad agencies are owned by women.
And where can people subscribe?
You can find the podcast at untilyouownit.com. We're also on the Marketing Podcast Network at marketingpodcast.net. And of course, you can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
You heard her. Go subscribe.
I'm Nick Westergaard, and this is On Brand, helping you tell your story. My guest this week is Richard Lau.
How do you take a creativity and how do you put that into an algorithm or into a computer program? Or you're like, okay, you know, we sit down with our team and like, this is a conversation that would happen between an end user and a designer. And we go through that conversation and we're like, how do you put that into a process that can be still feel human so that the results that are being presented are based off of those hundreds of different, you know, choose your adventure conversations that you would typically have between a customer and a designer.
Richard has generated millions of dollars in revenue in the internet industry. NamesCon, his in-person conference focused on domain names, began as an idea in the fall of 2013 and is now part of the GoDaddy family. Resume.com is an online resume builder for millions of job seekers and is another of Richard's recent successful exits, this time to Indeed.com. His current project is Logo.com, an AI-powered logo maker that has the ability to design a unique logo for your company in just a few minutes. Richard, welcome to On Brand.
Thank you, Nick. I'm excited to be here.
I am excited to have this conversation. Certainly, you've led an interesting career with lots of successful launches, exits, and as you find yourself on Logo.com, I'm sure here on a branding podcast, there may be some people that hear this and think, "What is that? Why would we do something like that as opposed to this very human, somewhat drawn out process?" Mm-hmm. So why Logo.com?
So Logo.com, you know, if you look at the past successes I've focused on with Resume.com and NamesCon and now with Logo, it's all about helping people in the online space. So it's with Resume, it was helping mostly high school students and university grads get a resume faster and better than they would if we hadn't existed. And with NamesCon, it was about building a space for domain investors and everyone in that ecosystem to be able to have a community. And with Logo.com, what we're doing is our goal is to help people that have an idea, that nugget of an idea, and need a logo quickly. And so it's not replacing the design agency, so to speak, right? We're not going head to head against an SMB who is going to spend $5,000 to $15,000 on their logo and their branding package. What we're targeting is the solopreneur, the entrepreneur who has a 9-to-5 that has a nugget of an idea, and you know, it's Friday afternoon as we're recording this, you know, and someone is like, they finish their work, they go home, and they're like, you know what, I want to expand my interior design passion, and I'm going to turn that into a side gig. I'm going to turn it into a small business, and I'm going to see what happens. And so they go on a Friday, and they go on Wix or Squarespace or Weebly or Duda. You know, we have a website builder, and they get to the point, you know, they decided on a name, they start to upload their pictures, they get to the point where they need to put in a logo. And this is where they can get derailed, because they can, at that point, go off on the traditional entrepreneur logo design, which is talk to a friend, do one up and, you know, yourself struggling through like Paint or Photoshop, and you're just lost in that, in the overwhelming tools. Or you go on 99 Designs, and that's going to be a 2 or 3 week process. Or you go on Fiverr, and you know it's hit and miss, and it's going to be a they nickel and dime you, and suddenly you're up at $100, $200. But what we're trying to solve is like keeping that momentum of that entrepreneur who wants to get online. And so there's a lot of human effort here, but we're taking that human conversation, and we're trying to have those conversations be algorithmic so that when someone puts in their name, their industry, and their slogan, that, and you know, some other preferences, that we can push 200 or 300 designs to them in minutes. Now, those designs aren't just computer based and there's no human interaction. The human interaction has happened in advance. And so we're pouring thousands, tens of thousands of human hours into our designs in advance, so that when you go onto our site and you put in your information, we're presenting you with 200 or 300 designs so that you can scroll through, kind of like, you know, Tinder for logo design, and say, this is what I like. And then you can then tweak it from there. And we've seen people even then take it from there and take it to their designer. So that the 80% is done, that the designer isn't starting with a blank page, but they're like, okay, this is what I like about this design. Can you tweak this? Can you change the icon slightly? So there's, you know, we're solving for the low end of the market. You know, if you're an entrepreneur who's looking to spend, you know, your budget is upwards to say $400 or $500 for your logo, that's where logo.com comes in, because we're going to save you money, we're going to save you time. Our top package is $100. So, but we're not taking out that branding agency. We're not a replacement for that by any means. We're a parallel, starting point. We're an ideas base. We have lots of designers who never purchase anything from us and just use us as ideas. And so, and we're happy for that. You know, we've operated all of our systems in the past on a freemium model, where, 99% of our users never paid us a cent.
You know, that's fascinating to think about and to be walked through. And you said several times there, you talked about the human effort. Let's flip the other side of that and talk about the AI of design. That seems... like it would take some pretty remarkable AI to do that type of work.
Yeah, so AI rolls off the tongue, but it's when you like pop the hood and start, you pull out the toolbox and you're like, okay, let's get to work. My goodness, it's a lot of work. So, how do you take a creativity and how do you put that into an algorithm or into a computer program? Or you're like, okay, we sit down with our team and like, this is a conversation that would happen between an end user and a designer. And we go through that conversation and we're like, how do you put that into a process that can be still feel human, so that the results that are being presented are based off of those hundreds of different, choose your adventure conversations that you would typically have between a customer and a designer, and over the course of 2 or 3 weeks. And so, we're really trying to ride this fine balance between presenting designs and the tool sets, because we're not wanting to be a Photoshop. Right, we don't want to have people learn how to, use our system. It should all be intuitive. It's like, if you want to change the font, it should be so simple that there is no instruction manual. But yet, we still want to be able to have you have the ability to change the font. But at the same time, we don't want you to be able to, drag and drop everything, because you can take someone who. And sometimes some designers don't see this. They don't realize just how much skill they have innately. But if you give someone who is not a designer the ability to drag and drop everything, they're going to destroy and come up with a, you know, I hate to say it, they're going to come up with a horrible design that, you know, that they just need to hit restart. And so you have to have these bounds. It's a very hard balance to have these bounds that you keep people within so that it stays within what a designer would say when they're giving advice to the customer. You know, if the customer's like, oh, I want to have an eagle and I want to have a flag and I want to have, you know, my wrench and I want to have the wrench overlapping the wording. And, they've got all these crazy ideas. And sure, you can go, you can find tools online that can do that. But it's not a logo that you'd want to, you know, have your associated with your name. And so it's tough. It's a tough business and, you know, it's just absolutely fascinating and super interesting to be able to try and, take that human connection and, you know, present it to our human programmers, and designers and say, how do we get this into a black box? And we've been working on it for 2 years and, you know, we're not perfect. We're constantly improving. You know, we're an all onshore house. Everyone is located either in Canada, the United States or UK. And, you know, we've done that for a particular purpose, in that if you look at designers, especially on the lower end, like, $200 and lower, generally you're going to find those outside of North America and they have a different design eye. And, chances are, you know, if you take a designer from, Seattle and you present him with 100 logos and you're like, okay, so identify the logos that are, generated in North America by a North American designer or generated by a non-North American designer, and they're going to be correct probably 80% of the time. And it's hard to put your finger on. It's that X factor. And so when you're programming a logo creator, you need to make sure that, you know, garbage in, garbage out. You know, you got to make sure that that design aesthetic is a North American design, so that what's produced is going to be picked as a North American design and suitable for North American customers.
Hey, On Brand listeners. We talk about a lot of brand building topics here on the show, from developing strong brands to brand stories to building engaged super fans for your brand, both internally and externally. If these are topics that you're working through or struggling with, I'd love to help. I regularly schedule one-time or ongoing brand coaching sessions with clients based on their unique needs. Are you building a new brand? I'd love to help. Struggling with rebranding? I'd love to help. Do you want to create an engaged community around your brand? I'd love to... You get the idea. I've worked with clients of all shapes and sizes, from Fortune 500 companies to small businesses and startups. I've also interviewed hundreds of experts right here on the On Brand podcast and written 2 books. I can apply all of this to the challenges that you're struggling with. To learn more about working personally with me, Nick Westergaard, go to nickwestergaard.com, that's Westergaard with 2 A's, or email me at nick@branddrivendigital.com. Now back to the show.
So one thing that's fascinating to me in this is you've walked through this what really seems like it's a spectrum of logo design, and you look at, you know, some high-end solutions, and then at the very end of the spectrum you have well nothing. And you talked about standing up a quick Wix website, a Squarespace, and more often than not, in the ones that I've seen, that visual identity, that visual anchor of a logo is what sets apart some of those built sites, those out of the box sites. You know, really the difference between the good and the great. But in moving on that spectrum, there's a great big chunk of space where there isn't anything. And like you said, where people left to their own devices, it sort of makes me think of like when people first got access to PowerPoint, they were and Word, they were doing everything with all of the fonts and all of the colors.
Yeah.
So there's definitely seems like there is a place for something else, for an AI to help streamline some of those things and keep folks on the right track.
Yeah, you know, one of the most interesting things that we've seen coming out of studying, you know, millions of different logo designs, is that the larger the company, the simpler their logo. You know, when you think of something like IBM or Facebook, you know, they don't have, three different images within their logo.
There's no eagle flag or wrench.
No, exactly. You know, I literally saw a logo this morning that had, as I'm standing looking at the guy's van, I'm like, it has five images in his logo. And it just takes away from the name, right? It's much better to have a simple word mark than it is to have an overly complicated icon. And people are like, oh, I want people to remember my icon. It's like, really? Do you have an eight-figure budget to impress that logo into someone's mind? Or do you, the purpose of the logo is not for someone to remember it. It's for you to communicate in a fraction of a second your personality, your trustworthiness, your professionalism, your goodwill, and your brand, your name. And it's not that, if they quiz you the next day, that the person would be able to name three out of the four images that were inside of your icon. It's that do they remember you, and do they have a good feeling, right? So what we're really about, Zig Ziglar, right, is the transference of feeling. That's what the brand design behind logo is. That's what our goal is at the end of the day. That's why people pay us. They're paying us as a thank you for the value we're delivering. And the value we're delivering is cost savings, time savings. But if we're not delivering a logo that communicates professionalism, goodwill, trust, and your name, then we failed. And we have that as our laser focus. We're not interested in justifying the time, right, based on an hourly. And so we're going to, spend lots of time just, grading the word mark or, creating, replacing a letter with a intricately hand-drawn picture. That's not delivering. That's, that's just a designer justifying their time and their bill. That's not servicing the customer and what they need, which is communicating their name, trust, goodwill, and professionalism.
You surface something else in there that I think for many it would take an AI to help them see, because I was just talking with a client about this yesterday that simple is made the same observation that you just mentioned of the logos, the brands that are the most respected seem like they are simple and elegant in design, that they're not loaded up with a bunch of imagery, a bunch of elements. And I said simple is great, but simple is hard, and simple scares most of us when we're trying to execute something. Because I'm sure the guy with the truck, his thought process was something like, well, I want people to know that I've got the feelings that go with the eagle and a flag, even though those seem like they might be somewhat related. But maybe he thought there's flag people and there's eagle people, and I don't want to miss either one of them. So I got to make sure I got both the flag people and the eagle people. And because of what I do, they're not going to know that, regardless of what my name is, if there's not a wrench there as well. And it feels safe. It's like a security blanket. So it seems like there's also a space for AI to help us maybe streamline our thinking a little bit and some of those traps that are easy to fall into as well.
Yeah, you know, the Malcolm Gladwell book, Blink, you know, it talks about, you know, that as humans, we make a decision in a fraction of a second, and we can't, you can't necessarily articulate what it is. You know, when you look at a piece of art, and you're an expert, and you're like, that's a fake. And you don't, you know, just within a fraction of a second. So now, if you take the fact that we see thousands, you know, now that we're in COVID right now, you know, hundreds of logos per day, hundreds of brands per day. And, you know, as a human, you are going to learn over time that the more intricately designed the logo, the more, you know, tweaked the logo icon is, the smaller the company. And the larger, the more simple the logo, the word mark is, the larger the company. So when you are a realtor and you're putting up a logo on your site and you're like, okay, I'm going to include a house, I'm going to include hands because I care, I'm going to include the flag, whether it's my state flag or country flag, and I'm going to, you know, to show patriotism, and you know, you're putting all that in. Well, in that fraction of a second, you've made it so busy that the person's, you know, they can't explain it. They're not even going to necessarily recognize it. But when they see it, they'll be like, oh, this is a small firm. Whereas if it's a simple, like you say, simple is hard. It's harder to be simple and it's easier to be busy. Okay. But if it's a simple, clean, professional design within certain boundaries, the gut, that blink impression is going to be, oh, they're a large firm, they're professional. Well, you know, we had recently one of our most expensive packages that sold. It was a single letter. That was the logo. It was M. But the person was like, well, you know, I some people would say, oh, you can just get an M off, you know, Word or Google Docs. But you know, it's like, in our $99 package, we include this, you know, dozens and dozens of different file sizes and cover images. So it's like, just based on your social media, your business card layout, etc., it's worth $100. And that's just for a single letter M. So, you know, we've got lots, hundreds of different templates that focus on simplicity. You can add icons, absolutely, but try and keep your icons simple. Right? Don't overly complicate it. But yeah, I love your phrasing. Simple is hard.
Well, and I love your point about the more intricately designed logo being directly related to the size of the company. And for proof positive in big logos that people often point to as, yes, like that, you look at the first Apple logo, and it was this complicated, like picture. Like a script, with a literal script, and a guy sitting under the tree and Newton's apple falling on him. And then they, of course, got the Apple mark, but it was rainbow and it had text below it. And they've just continued to subtract. The same with Starbucks as well.
Yeah, I mean, you take a look at, Canon, right? What they're putting onto their camera and all of their equipment is simply a word mark, right? There is no icon. You know, I just it's there's so many examples, but people don't necessarily see it when they're walking around. We've done that for them. You know, we've spent thousands of human hours just doing this so that other people don't have to. We're not in the business of replacing design houses. We're in the business of helping people who would otherwise do it themselves, or, get an offshore, designer. And we're able to put that down to about 20 minutes, is the amount of time that someone should, take to design and download their logo from logo.com. And you know, we eat our own dog food. Come and take a look at logo.com and you'll see our logo is literally four letters. And just, you know, arranged creatively, created on logo.com. The template that we use for our own logo is available and is designing logos for other people. So it's it's used by us on a seven-figure, you know, domain name. And, you know, we truly believe what we preach.
Well, you know, on that note, you talked about helping people and what you do. And what I think is interesting from the perspective, the point of view of your personal brand is, you know, so many entrepreneurs who've had several successful businesses, sometimes it seems like it's kind of ping pongs around. But your work, the businesses that you've started are all unified around this idea of what you just said of helping people. Did that happen purposefully, or did that happen in the rearview mirror that, hey, look at that? Everything sort of hangs together. I say that because that seems how my own personal brand makes sense.
No, it was definitely purposeful. You know, we talk about successes, but I've had a fair number of failures. I've had a fair number of life altering failures in terms of, like, you know, I had my first company, a tech company that I started. I really, you know, I built it up to be worth about, say, you know, $4 or $5 million, and I lost it all. I walked away with a severance check. It was just, you know, a number of different things, health issues. You know, just the favorite line that I heard out of that whole disaster was someone saying to me, you know, what we're doing to you isn't ethical, but it's not illegal. And I was just shocked to have someone actually admit that, you know, just straight out. But the best revenge is to live well. You know, I was diagnosed with cancer at age 30, and that changed my attitude on work. But I love working. And, you know, when I started to, get back onto the horse after, you know, losing my company, after, being diagnosed with cancer, but having a second lease on life, you know, I went through a lot of reading and a lot of, being mentored. And it's just like, you know, how can you make a difference in the world? Right. I had already worked just for money. Right. And so it's like, well, how do you add in being, you know, at the end of the day, life is about relationships. And, you know, when you have a customer, you're establishing a relationship, a pseudo-social relationship, but it's still a relationship. And so you want to leave every conversation, every relationship better than when you first entered that relationship. And so that's what we had that attitude in every single business since the spectacular failure, which was in, you know, 2002. So for the last 18 years, yeah, it has been an absolute ethos built into the, foundational stones of any business that we're involved in.
Well, I think that whole story is fascinating and brings a smile to my face, which is a good reminder that we have come to the point in the show, Richard, where it's time for me to ask you for a brand that has made you smile recently.
Yeah. So my son, 20 years old, he was online and went to a candy shop online and did an order of some retro candy. And one of the packages that's sitting on my desk that I haven't eaten yet because, you know, it's probably not the healthiest, but it does bring a smile to my face because, you know, it reminds me of my childhood, is Hostess Cupcakes. I know that Hostess went out of, you know, we filed Chapter 11 and then was rebranded and repurposed, et cetera. But, you know, it's back to retro. Very simple logo when I'm looking at it. But it definitely brought a smile to my face to walk into my office and having it sitting there just as a fond memory of years gone by.
Well, that is a great example. And yeah, it's those throwbacks, that powerful nostalgia too. Definitely. Definitely a smile. Richard, where can folks go to learn more about who you are and what you do? Though I have a guess of where this will be.
Yeah, definitely logo.com. I am richard@logo.com. And, you know, I live on LinkedIn for my networking. I'm a big proponent of building your network and servicing and being helpful to your network. So if you want to reach out, look me up on LinkedIn and reach out. I am an open book.
Awesome. Well, we will link up to all of that in our show notes. Richard, thanks for being on brand with us.
Thank you, Nick.
And if you like what you're hearing, if we made you smile, remember to subscribe to the show via Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you like to listen. And please take a moment and rate and review the podcast to help others find the show. Until next week, I'm Nick Westergaard, and I'll see you on the internet.
This podcast is heard along the Marketing Podcast Network. For more great marketing podcasts, visit marketingpodcasts.net.